Hello and welcome to All About Symbian Insight number 6, where we discuss what's been going on in the Symbian world this week. Except we don't this week, because this week is the Christmas edition, where we're going to do something a bit different. With me this week is...
me, Ewan Spence, and the still beating heart of Steve Lich... No, Steve's not here because I've killed him. Steve's been moving
house...
You've
killed Steve?
No, I've not killed Steve. He's moved house, and I've just been making sure that Santa's got his new address.
That's very thoughtful of you.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, sorry Steve can't be with us this week, but I think he'll be back sometime in the new year after he's successfully moved house at Christmas time. And yes, we do think that's a bit crazy, but that's Steve for you.
Oh, it's not that bad. I mean, I've moved house with a four-week-old, so, you know, I think an eight-year-old, and just, you know, the week before Christmas, hey, you know.
Well, everyone knows you're crazy, Ewan. We thought Steve was relatively normal, so that sort of thing from you is par for the course.
I don't know whether to be offended or pleased at that. I shall remain pleased and look at some of the special offers that Steve is missing online. Yes, Christmas comes once a year, and it's a chance for people to buy lots of stuff and presents. And there seems to be a roaring trade in software and registration codes going around this year, and some of the bigger software companies out there have put down discounts, vouchers, holiday specials, whatever, onto their products and wares to try and tempt you into buying a bit of software this Christmas. It's rather like what they do in the shops as well, but of course it's online, so it's much easier to do that. And as always, these vouchers are usually available also through the All About Symbian store as well, so you can give Rafe, myself and Steve and all of our people here at the shed a little bit of a Christmas cheer as well. I wanted to start off pointing out my favourite one, which is probably from Epochware, Rafe, who've got a delightful sledge prices 50% off. Basically half price on pretty much all their products right through the festive period.
That's pretty good offer. And is there anything particular from Epochware that you like, Ewan?
Well, Epochware is a company that really doesn't have anything super flashy. There's nothing that's absolutely stunning in their products, so yet they've been around since I think Epoch Release 3, when they were still on the science, with solid, dependable products that do stuff that works every single day. And for that, you know, congratulations to them. Handy Tools is the pack of 11 of these small utility applications they've got. So bundled in here, Handy Calendar, Handy Safe, Handy Clock, Handy Weather, Handy Blacklist for automatically hanging up on people you don't like, Handy Taskman, Handy Expenses, Handy Converter, Handy Calculator, and Handy Keylock. So we've got 11 titles there. And up normally $230 to buy them individually. Bundle in the Handy Tools pack, $100, 50% off at the Christmas time this year, and you get all of those for $50.
So that we're talking about £2.50 each for each title, which is pretty outstanding, really.
It's a bit under that as well, given it's 11, not 10. So, but yeah, I mean, it's a already outstanding value. Christmas over there, you know, if you're really going to be using your phone with that sort of lots of applications, the power user format, this is a great chance to get your hand on a bundle of applications that we review and consistently give high ratings to.
Yes, I mean, Epochware is some of my favourite software titles, Taskman in particular. It's a great replacement for the sort of multitasking function on S60 as a way of quickly launching third-party applications. But right across the range, I know their programming is top-notch and their usability is great, and so I can really only say positive things about Epochware. So I think we've also got some other software titles at reduced title. I'll just go through some of these quickly now. DataViz are offering RoadSync at 40% off. That's a cost of $30 instead of $50 as it usually is. And RoadSync is used in push email for Microsoft Exchange. Of course, this is available free in Exchange for Mail, which is offered by Nokia. But the RoadSync version offers a number of extra features, including better integration into the corporate accounts. And more importantly, to my mind, it also offers folder support. And there's better support for some of the more recent versions of the Exchange server software as well. So if you're using Microsoft Exchange, you want to sync it with your phone, my recommendation would be to use RoadSync, and this is a pretty good offer to get 40% off.
And of course, it's also valid on the UIQ platform and also on the N-Series devices as well. Nokia, although they do have the sync available, it's only on the E platform.
Absolutely, although with the UIQ version, of course, you get that free bundled with the phone anyway, because Sony Ericsson have made a very smart move, in my opinion, in bundling in DataViz. But if you're on one of the Walkman UIQ phones, that's the W950 or the W960, I don't think you do get the bundle, as they're obviously not business-targeted devices. Moving on, another big name in the software world is Psylocke, who are currently offering 20% off everything in their store. Not sure there's one title I particularly want to highlight, but they've got things like Psylocke Extended Recorder, which gives you unlimited voice recording. There's also some neat things like Psylocke G-Sync, which actually archives your SMS and MMS messages to your Gmail account, which I think is a neat way of backing them up, and actually something that is rather lacking on S60 and UIQ both. The other big one, of course, is Psylocke IR Remote, which allows you to control your TV, video, or whatever it happens to be via the infrared port of your phone. Of course, you need a phone with an IR port, but quite a lot of them do have that, including devices like the N95 and a number of the other N-series devices.
And it's also worth pointing out that certainly the UIQ3 range, Psylocke have a huge number of language packs, specifically for the font. So, for example, they've got versions of Japanese kanji, Arabic characters, Thai characters, Hebrew, and Hindi characters as well. So I know that UIQ fonts make a lot of impact in places like India and Southeast Asia. And these language and font conversion packs, as they were, are some of the best add-ons that you can get for the devices down there. Not everybody reads English and could read the good old-fashioned normal letters that we use. They have different versions of their own normal letters. Psylocke does a great accommodation to get those into the phone.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking at the more general ones, there's Nokia Software Market, which are offering some pretty good deals off some of their software, so you can check that out at nokiasoftwaremarket.nokia.com. One more software-specific one is Wayfinder, which is GPS navigation software. They've got a special Christmas offer on at the moment, which is €99 for European-wide maps, and they'll throw in a free Bluetooth GPS for those of you that don't have phones with GPSs built in. That's a normal saving of a cost of about €100. Pretty good offer there, I think. Wayfinder is one of the better GPS solutions out there, although you may, of course, wish to use Nokia Maps or some of the other GPS solutions, so think quite carefully before using that one. Finally, it's something that actually applies to the All About Symbian store, and that's any software that's listed on the site that you can find at www.allaboutsymbian.com/software. You can get 15% off any software in the store there by entering the voucher HOLIDAYS15, that's all one word, into your shopping basket at the end of your shopping process, and you can get 15% off as many bits of software as you want over the Christmas period. So that's again a pretty good offer if you've got your eye on something in particular. I don't know if there's anything recently that you've used that you'd recommend, Ewan.
In terms of software, the one I've been playing with most this week, and in preparation for a very smooth link, folks, here it is. It's MTube. Unfortunately, it's freeware, so there's no need to use your discount code. But the great thing is, it's freeware. But there is a PayPal button on the site, and if you want to contribute to the author and say congratulations, well done, then you can use the application and work out how much you think it's worth, and then pay the author that much. I think it's a much fairer system.
So can you tell us what MTube is, Ewan?
MTube is a mobile version of YouTube, and it is one of the most user-friendly versions of the YouTube interfaces I've seen on the platform. Now, all the N-Series devices in Series 60 already have a way of accessing some of the mobile YouTube videos. This basically is everything in YouTube is available to you. So the S60 application will have the URL link back on the website in the show notes for insight number 6. And you know, it comes up with a standard search featured, top rated, most viewed, laid out as if it was in the contacts application, that list with the icon next to it. Search for anything on YouTube. So if I, for example, search right now for Rafe, and the word safe comes up in my T9 version, which is incredibly useful, to find out what videos we can actually get for it. Asks to go online, calls up one of the smartphone shows for some reason, I'm guessing it's from when we were in London. Click on that, and it downloads the FLV file that all the videos on YouTube are held on, puts that through the Symbian PIP system, which is a version or an extension of the code library, and gives you full screen video. There's a version of the N95 that uses accelerometers, so tilt your phone on the side, it tilts automatically, or you can do it manually by pressing the button number one. And there you go, you've got access to one of the biggest stores of video on the internet. Now, obviously, YouTube is all meant to be there. There's nothing dodgy, and in no way is it possible for you to pick up really bad Tom Baker episodes of Doctor Who on your phone when you're in bed in the middle of the night. Oh, no.
And even if you could, you wouldn't do such thing, being such an upstanding citizen, would you, Ewan?
Well, actually, no, I would just get the DVDs out of the cupboard. But for the normal person, this is smooth, it's well integrated, it looks like a Series 60 application, and I cannot stress to any developer listening, that's important. As Series 60 expands out to more and more people, it pushes into the mid-range and low-range devices, you can't be guaranteed that someone using the phone understands apps and file formats and why something looks different. This application looks like it's a built-in application, it acts like a built-in application, and that means that someone who's learned one application, like the contacts on the phone, can use this application solidly as well. It provides great results, it does exactly what it says on the tin, and if you like it as much as Steve and I did, head along to the PayPal and donate button on the author's website.
Yeah, no, I've been really impressed by this when I originally posted on the site. Blown away by the impression of this as in terms of polish for a first release. Of course, I've had a few queries about whether it lets you look at YouTube in the browser, which it doesn't. That's something that's coming in future versions of S60, and actually we'll talk a little bit about that in a future podcast. We're going to cover YouTube more generally in one of the future insights, talking about some of the solutions that are available and what's coming in the future and whether we think it's important. But if you're interested in a YouTube client application, absolutely, MTube is the one to use. So moving on to a different topic now. Ewan, there's been some sort of rumours and some news about Palm in the news over the last week or so. There's been some rumours and speculation about job losses, and the financial results haven't looked too good. So, you know, is Palm on the way out? What do you think about this? Right, that makes that pretty clear.
No, that's not fair. Actually, Palm have done some very interesting things over the last couple of weeks. They've brought in one of Apple's ex-VPs, whose surname escapes me now. John Rubenstein. I was going to say Bernstein. That's close enough. That's a good Scrabble word away from his name. They have laid off something in the region of 10% of their staff, and interestingly, the majority of those layoffs have come in the coding and development section in terms of building the OS. It looks, I mean, you know, they've had a nice launch with the Central, which is the $99 Trio phone on some of the networks.
The Trio 500, I believe.
It depends on the area and branding. But again, this comes down to Palm's kind of lost their way. They didn't own the own operating system, but they did. Then he spun it out to another company. Then that company was bought by Access. And then what was left of Palm bought back the rights for the operating system Garnet version 5 from that company. And they've never used it. They're using Windows Mobile on some of the handsets now. Now they're looking at using Linux again and dropping the operating system that they spent forever trying to buy back out of Access. Now, it should be, of course, pointed out that all this happened before Rubenstein came on board. And certainly he's cracked the whip, as any new senior manager has to do when they join the company. But they have posted an incredibly big loss. And I say big loss, it's a comparatively big loss. Palm does not have a huge amount of turnover. Let me just call up the numbers here while I'm waiting away. Yeah, it's a $9.63 million loss for a single quarter. Now, you have to compare that to the number that, you know, the same quarter last year, and they made a profit of $12 million. And I love the press statement that says, we're blaming higher than expected warranty costs as the main reason for losing money, which, you know, if I put that through my spin anti-spinmeister, that means the stuff they built kept breaking. It's all well and good to point over at Palm and go, ha-ha, they're losing, and Symbian's on the way up, and Windows Mobile is quite fine, and Apple's there. But any sort of small technology market space really needs lots of players to keep ideas coming in, to have people looking at different ideas from different angles and to continually drive each other. I mean, if the only platform that was out there was Nokia and Series 60, we wouldn't see all the feature packs coming out. We wouldn't see all the additions. Series 60, UIQ, Apple, Windows Mobile, Palm OS, whatever version of Linux Motorola are putting in their feature phones. You know, they all help to build and maintain the ecosystem. They all live off each other. So much as part of me goes, yay, Palm's losing, Symbian's winning, you know, the part of me, you know, that really loved the Trio 600, which I still have, you know, right back to the Palm 3 when, you know, it was like, wow, it's got a massive 1 megabyte of memory on board. Kind of hopes that they pull through.
Absolutely. I mean, I agree with you. I remember using the original Visor handspring. It was a great little device. And, you know, Palm's certainly not out of it yet. I mean, they're still producing, as you say, Windows Mobile devices. But I do think this is probably the death knell for the Palm OS as we've traditionally thought about it. They are going to transition over to the Linux stuff now, and I suspect we'll probably see some of the Palm stuff disappear in relatively short order. Or when I say Palm, I mean the traditional Palm OS as based on Garnet. And yes, they did buy it back, but I think that made sense because they were able to tweak it for the sort of the Centro devices in a number of ways. And I suspect we may see just a little bit more of that, but Palm now has to go through a very painful transition, I think, into using Linux across a range of devices. And that's going to be hard for their developer community. It's going to be hard for them to keep the momentum going. They're a relatively small company, and I just don't think they've sort of innovated enough in hardware terms in the last few years. There's very little difference between sort of the Trio 600 and the subsequent Trio devices, whereas before in the PDA space, when you had the likes of the sort of VX and then the TX, you know, there were quite widely differing PDA devices. But as you said, you know, it'll be sad to see anything happen to them, because they did really introduce the concept of the smartphone to the US market, and the idea of the QWERTY keyboard device that sort of added on to a PDA really originated, I think, with the original Trio, which was one of the 230 series or something like that.
You know, I'm sure we're going to have a whole bundle of people drive a truck through that statement, and right now I probably could as well.
They were the first to popularize it.
Well, I think we would need to check when BlackBerry came out. I think the RIM BlackBerries were already in that format.
Well, I would distinguish between the BlackBerry format, which was sort of black and white screens dedicated to email, and sort of the marriage of the PDA with the sort of QWERTY keyboard. But, I mean, certainly they were the big innovators in that space. I mean, the Trio and the Trio 600, when it came out, was, you know, incredibly well received because of it was something relatively new. Yes, I'm sure people are going to drive truck through that statement, but really the point I want to make is that Palm have a long history in this industry, so anything that sort of sees them slowly dying away is, I think, really quite sad, because it's the industry's loss to have fewer competitors, and certainly for consumers it's not good to see them disappear in terms of producing new devices. Let's not write them off yet. They may well be able to come back with the new Linux stuff, but the signs aren't very good at the moment.
Be interesting to see what they do at Barcelona and 3GSM in February 2008.
Absolutely.
Let's leave it at that.
Hopefully we'll see more from them, but the news this week certainly hasn't been good, and that's, you know, never a good sign. So changing from a slightly miserable topic, we should really get back to the Christmas edition of this Insight. And we've got a question that we need to answer. And in the Christmas spirit, it's, what phone does Father Christmas use? So do you want to have a quick stab at that, Ewan?
I think Father Christmas uses something that's robust, something that can obviously survive a huge amount of stress and punishment in the travels that he has to do, something that's reliable, and something that has an incredibly long battery life. Now, also, we have to consider where Santa comes from.
Yes, because red and white comes from Finland, doesn't he? Well, so he's bound to prefer Nokia devices.
No, Father Christmas comes from Turkey, which is where the original St. Nicholas was in 4 BC.
But he lives in Finland now.
No, he doesn't live in Finland now. He lives very close to Atlanta, near the Coca-Cola Company, who, of course, were very kind enough to create his red and white standing out dress.
So you're saying he uses a pink Motorola Razr?
No, I think he's using a red and white special edition Coca-Cola. There we go. Yes, or the MR30 on orange, which is possibly the most indestructible phone the world has ever seen.
Well, I was always under the impression he lived somewhere in Scandinavia, so I rather thought he might like to use a Nokia or a Sony Ericsson phone.
Well, every time I see a Father Christmas, he's round, he's had a little bit to drink, he's looking at the children, he's hanging around at supermarket corners. So perhaps he's from Birmingham, and he's using what used to be a Sendo and what is now one of the Motorola X series phones.
So you think he's using a Z8, maybe?
I think he could be using a Z8, yes.
Yeah, well,
but whatever he is, you have to, of course, remember what he's going to have GPS in it, If he has to use a Nokia, that means, Santa Tracker, which is the new open source software coming out of Nokia to help you track your sleigh rides around the world, is up there.
The customized version of Sports Tracker, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I think he's going to have the special night vision Carl Zeiss lens. Otherwise, how else would he be able to see you if you are sleeping? And of course, with an alarm clock, he'll know when you're awake. With a good synchronizing package that can sync into the missing CD of data from all the lost children in the United Kingdom, you will be able to know if you've been bad or good. So if you're Gordon Brown, do be good, for goodness sake.
Yep. Yeah, no, I also think he's definitely using an open platform phone, because some of the software he's going to be adding is pretty specialised. There's got to be some calorie counting in there for all the milk and the cookies he's been eating, or some kind of alcohol unit counter for all the sherry he's been consuming.
And I think it's fair to say that because of that great big list that he's keeping, and he will have to check it twice, he's probably got some sort of access to santa.wikipedia.com.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. And of course, now that he's in... to be flying over UK airspace, he of course has to have a Bluetooth enabled phone, because if you use your mobile phone while you're on your sleigh or in your car, you'll actually get jailed if you get caught by the police. So I'm sure Santa's got a high-tech Bluetooth sleigh system, maybe from Parrot or maybe from Nokia, Sony Ericsson, or
luckily enough, though, of course, also coming up in the news today and just in time, is Air France is doing a trial that you'll be able to make voice calls whenever you're travelling above 10,000 feet in Air France aircraft over the next 6 months. So hopefully he'll be able to translate that as well. My one worry, of course, is that with all these bottles of milk he's having, if he does travel through UK airspace, he's only going to be able to take one of them at a time.
Yeah, no,
and it will have to be 100 millimetres.
Through customs, that's tricky.
So when you are laying out your milk and cookies for him, do make sure it's a very small measure and in a very small bottle wrapped up in a plastic bag.
Yeah, I'm sure I'd appreciate a packet of Ziploc bags, because there's bound to be someone careless who forgets to include that sort of thing. So I think moving away from software and features, are there any particular hardware things that we think he needs? I mean, you've already mentioned the night vision thing on the Carl Zeiss, but and the GPS. But I think he's going to need a fairly big screen as well, and he needs something that's sort of quite easy to use. So, do you think he'd use an iPhone?
Two problems with using the iPhone. The first one is it doesn't work with gloves. And it gets very, very cold when you're up high and on all the surroundings. You'd have to have fingerless gloves. It would make him look like some sort of skiff from the East End of Glasgow. And of course, the other thing about the iPhone is it doesn't have a replaceable battery. So that 8 to 10 hour day that you can get out of using it, it's not going to work for Santa. Even if he flies the opposite way around the world, he's going to be in the air for, 47 hours, 59 minutes, if he follows the curve of the earth to get around everybody as far as possible. There's no way that he's going to be able to change over halfway through that flight. He's going to have to make a pit stop somewhere and charge up his phone if he's using an iPhone.
Yeah, no, that's going to be a definite problem. And I also think, when you're moving the amount of data he is on the naughty and bad list, a 2G connection is just not really going to cut it, and you can't guarantee Wi-Fi is going to hand over easy enough when you're travelling at several billion miles an hour.
Well, maybe he's using Inmarsat and their internet connection with the satellites up in space.
Yeah.
Which I think there are two handsets that currently have access to that, both of which are encased in rubber and made by Panasonic.
Yeah, that's a definite possibility. But on the other hand, I think being in all about Symbian Sight would probably have to vote for a special edition N-series device, or possibly one of the new Sony Ericsson devices to keep all the UIQ fans happy. Of course, it could be a Motorola one if you're in the US. Of course, there is a distinct possibility that Father Christmas is well aware that there's quite a lot of controversy around which mobile phone he uses, and then uses a different one at different times to keep different people happy.
or each different Santa has a different phone.
Different Santas? You think there's more than one, Ewan?
Well, I actually think there's one Santa, but he's actually Quantum Santa, because you never see two of them in the same room. But you know that there's going to be one in one supermarket, and one in the nursery, and one somewhere else. So I think, rather than the same way that we have Quantum Santas, he's going to be using a quantum phone that looks like whichever phone he needs it to be at the time.
So it's a bit like Doctor Who's psychic paper.
Fantastic.
So there we go. The definitive answer to which phone Father Christmas uses, it's whichever one you think he's using, because it's a psychic phone that shows you whatever you want it to do. So when Ewan looks at it, he's going to see a
Nokia 7650.
Oh dear. And when Rafe looks at it, he's probably going to see
a broomstick.
Well, yes, yeah, the N-Series broomstick edition. Yeah, thanks for that, Ewan. You're going to have to explain that to people, because there's no way people are going to get that reference.
No, it's a Christmas thing. You know, some things you just can't explain, like how Santa can get around all the children, like how he still gets into the houses when they don't have chimneys anymore, and why the Queen's speech is on at 3 o'clock.
And why he visits at different times, at different places, different... Yeah, no, we won't try and explain Father Christmas. Go and have a look on Google for understanding Father Christmas, because that's far better than we can ever give. So hopefully you've enjoyed this special edition of the All About Symbian Insight at Christmas Time. We'll be back sometime in the new year where we'll return you to our regular programming. We'll try not to be quite so completely bonkers, because although we enjoy being bonkers sometimes, and in fact there's a little secret that most of the people who write for All About Symbian are completely or at least half mad, we'll return you to your original programming. But we'd love to hear your thoughts on what we should be talking about in the new year, or if you've got any questions you want the expert team here to answer, we'd be delighted to hear from you. You can email me at rafe@allaboutsymbian.com. And without further ado, the only thing I have left to do is wish you a very happy Christmas and all the best for 2008. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and thank you for visiting All About Symbian. You make it what it is.
We have an expert team?
Well, it was expert. I mean, I think it's expert, or at least semi-expert.
You've been listening to the All About Symbian podcast, www.allaboutsymbian.com. Copyright 2007.